present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with an item spotted among the wedding announcements in the Macclesfield Express, read for us by Brian Perkins.
The bridegroom is a self-employed builder and the bride is a classroom at Worley Primary School.
Thanks to Donna Cohen for sending us that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Clive Anderson. Katie Melm on my left, Alan Corran and Michael White. Francis, as ever, the first question, a real toughie. Where was a major pattern starting to take shape over Europe?
I have no idea. I think this is the playoff for the European finals, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of violence, apparently, because they've been drawn in the playoffs, Major and Patton and Heather and Clark on the one hand, and then Thatcher and all these hooligans on the other side. There's police have been called in, St John's Ambulance in attendance. Anyway, they had a press conference, Britain in Europe, I think it's called, and Heseltine and Clark did their stuff, and Blair, rather more feebly, did his stuff. Lots of nice little well-behaved Blairites, not speaking out of term. Heseltine and Clark just lashed into the Major. If any, he's like that when he was Prime Minister. I mean, all the time he was Prime Minister, never said a word, and suddenly, now he's got some memoirs to promote, he's speaking out, saying what he only previously said off the record and when he thought the microphones were off. And it's some good news for the Conservative Party, I believe. They feel that everything is going their way. They're tearing themselves apart. And they're looking forward to a great result in the final playoffs against Croatia.
Were you there, Michael?
Yes, I was. Heather and Clark were terrific and knocked everyone for six. And the Labour cabinet members looked as if they'd been excessively strictly potty trained. Which they have, but only since being grown up.
Chris Patten's appointment as a European Commissioner continues Tony Blair's policy of appointing political opponents to crucial jobs. David Mellor to the Football Task Force, Michael Heseltine to the Britain in Europe campaign, and Gordon Brown to the Treasury. Mr Hague claimed the whole of his shadow cabinet were now singing from the same hymn sheet, though John Redwood was seen just nodding his head and trying to mouth the words. 2 points to Francis. Clive, why is two company but 6 billion a crowd?
Yes, this is easy enough. Apparently the 6 billionth person on Earth was born last week, and apparently it was in Croatia or Serbia or somewhere, because the United Nations hung around waiting for somebody to give birth and said, "You're the 6 millionth, and I give you this special bonus UN baseball cap to wear as a prize." But the population is still going up. I think the extra billion has been added since about the time that Mick Jagger entered into man's estate, that sort of period of time, and that's it. There are now six billion of us, which makes the listening figures of this program look rather feeble, I should imagine.
No, most people listen.
Yes, most of those 6 billion people.
Yes.
I think that's right, isn't it?
Yes, it is. An 8-pound baby boy born in Sarajevo was chosen by the UN to symbolise the world's population reaching 6 billion. Experts attribute the huge growth in the number of babies born from the mid-1950s onwards to increasing affluence, fertility treatments and John Major's father. Michael, where was General Alarm replaced by Coos of Delight?
I heard the radio midweek and I only caught a glimpse of it, as you often do with the news, and heard a glimpse. Do you hear glimpses? No. I heard a bit, as you do, and I thought, gosh...
Where do you normally go for therapy, Michael?
I'm doing very well, and I'm not going to be undermined.
You're my team.
I've been on your team before. It's a harrowing experience. I was listening to the radio while doing other things, and I heard Prime Minister...
If you don't know the answer, why don't you just admit it? It's more honest to yourself.
I've not yet got to that stage of the therapy. Nazam Sharif in Pakistan was subjected to the Pakistani equivalent of a general election by Field Marshal Musharraf, I think he's called, and all is going to be well. It's pretty well normal in Pakistan. Mr. Sharif, it turns out, was a bit of a fundamentalist. They always say that, don't they? Their hands were either in the till or they were chopping other people's hands off in the till. Anyway, peace in Pakistan. It's got the nuclear bomb, of course, which focused everybody's attention on it, and the United States Senate responded as only the United States Senate can by voting against a test ban treaty.
It's a chance for Imran Khan to take over anyway. He stood in the last election. He can go in and unite the whole country.
The goldsmiths win an election at last.
He's only a goldsmith by marriage.
That counts.
There have been warnings that the coup could destabilise relations between Pakistan and India, ultimately leading to the worst conflict over Kashmir since the first day of Harvey Nichols' sale. 2 points to Michael. Alan, listen to this. Help the agent. Help the Aged by Pulp. Alan, who didn't fight in two world wars for an extra 73 pence a week?
I'm glad it's a World War One. Perhaps it won't come up, but I want, even if it doesn't, to congratulate someone called Jodie Hoyt. It's read about in Telegraph. Because she'd won the World Conquer Championship and she's taking off the Germans, who won it last year. The idea that the Germans won a Conquer Championship and we've got it back. I think this is this terrible, sad story about Olay's pensions being linked to inflation, the Labour Party having wangled it, so the inflation is 1.1% this month. This is the month when they decide that all old pensioners will get 73p.
Wasn't one of the reasons the Conservative Party was voted out of office was they refused to put pensions up in line with earnings, and it's only going up in line with expenditure. But that hasn't been changed. Like everything else, it hasn't been changed now.
You're going a bit off message, aren't you?
I thought you used to be their best friend, those Blairs, whatever they're called.
Yeah, they're called Blairs, but I don't work for The Guardian like you do. I'm a free, independent spirit.
But let's
I was at school with Michael Portillo before I was friend of Tony Blair.
But he started his experiments then, Clive.
You were in a school play with him.
I keep all my options open, as it were.
Wasn't Diane Abbott involved in some way?
Diane Abbott was there as well, apparently, I read. Yes, she was there. We were all there together. Margaret Thatcher was the chemistry mistress. Lloyd George knew my father. He was headmaster, in fact, but... General Pinochet was head of the CCM.
Did you move to the left while you were at school with Portillo, and did you do it slowly and sensitively?
Well, you would have done as well, but...
Gordon Brown came under pressure after it was revealed that pensioners will receive just 73 pence a week extra from next year. Baroness Castle described the care provided for the elderly in this country as a lottery, but with only 73 pence in their pockets, they won't even be able to afford a ticket. So, the scores at the end of round one are Alan and Michael 4, but thanks to my novel scoring system, Francis and Clive are ahead with 5 points. And before we start round two, here's a cutting from the Yorkshire Evening Post.
So many pairs of black Marks and Spencer's underwear have been ripped from under the nurse's uniform at the Thackeray Medical Museum that chiefs have had to remove her knickers permanently and install closed-circuit television cameras.
Thanks to Brad Bradshaw of Horsford for sending us that. Francis, whose latest wheeze could involve an awful amount of coughing up?
An awful amount of coughing up.
This isn't the... Is this to do with the allergy to farm animals?
No, it's Marlborough, the cigarette people. Taken out a big ad and put it on their website saying, cigarettes are fantastically bad for you. Kids, just don't buy them, or rather do, but don't tell your parents. Is that it, I think?
Well, more or less, but I think I'll give you 1 point for that, but Alan's got the...
Well, no, I mean, I don't think we get a point for Philip Morris.
They make Marlborough. They are the owners of Marlborough.
Is it Marlborough or Marlborough? Which one's the school?
You know more about cigarettes than is good for you, Francis.
I know lots about them.
Too much knowledge about cigarettes.
Thatcher, she was hired by them.
She was hired by
Philip Morris to go and spread the message into Eastern Europe. After the fall of the Berlin Wall, she became a consultant to Philip Morris with a view to open up exciting new markets east of the Iron Curtain.
I remain of the view that the correct answer to this question is that if you get close to farm animals, it prevents you developing asthma, which is a defence I ran frequently when defending people in remoter parts of Wales when I was... practicing at the bar.
What did your clerk say? Oh, I've got a really good goat for you coming up here.
Clerk said, there be no moaning at the bar. Isn't it?
The American tobacco company Philip Morris have admitted that smoking is bad for your health. Smoking has declined considerably in this country. Americans didn't realise their request for us to visit Marlborough country required us to go through Swindon. So I will give 2 points to Francis there, because he obviously knew all the answer. Michael, listen to this. I fought the law, and the law was. 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 I fought the law. Michael, whose attack on liberal judges was the last straw?
Well, at a guess, I suppose it must be Maximum Jack.
It's all to do with asylum seekers. He's decided that British judges are so pathetic and liberal and lefty.
Lily-livered people at the best of times.
That he's going to appeal to have all these cases heard in Europe. He says that he'd rather trust European judges than mere British judges.
The Austrian judges are particularly good at this sort of thing.
Mr. Jörg Haider of the Freedom Party, he's rather hoping to recruit as a member of the High Court to stop all these asylum seekers turning.
I knew all that, but he's negotiating on the subject in Sweden this weekend at a European summit, and I thought it inappropriate to discuss it and in some way compromise Her Majesty's government's position.
That's the worst excuse for not getting an answer right now.
But you do that in your exams at university.
Yep.
I think it's inappropriate to discuss this matter.
And O-level and the 11 plus.
So I'll give a point to Michael for knowing the answer and a point to Francis for telling us what it was. Alan, how has the door been opened to Swifter House sales?
Oh, this is Nick Rainsford, one of the ex-London mayors, the several hundred that have now been shoved out of the way by all the new boys. Nick Rainsford last week was going to be mayor of London, but he's still housing minister, and he's put together something, or he's suggested he's going to introduce a bill at the next session, which is next week, so that nobody will be able to sell a house after the beginning of the next session of Parliament, because it's a seller's pack in which you have to tell the truth about your house. This is a crap house. Nothing works. The tiles fall off the roof, and be very careful as you walk up the path because it's infested and broken. And this is designed to stop gazumping. What it will do is stop selling, because if estate agents have to tell the truth, nothing will ever get shifted. It should be a non-seller's pack.
It's typical of the knockers. You know, they criticise the government's housing policy. It's working tremendously. This week they've housed a homeless person. They've got a flat for Mandelson. And a castle. And 100 grand's worth of security. And wallpaper, I expect.
Yeah, who's paying for that castle that Mandelson's going to be living in? Geoffrey Robbins had to pay for that as well.
With Mandelson's luck, you know, given the sale of his last one, they'll make a film called Hillsborough Castle with Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts, and you won't be able to buy anything in Northern Ireland for under £4 million.
Hugh Grant will be playing Ian Paisley. Surrender.
Who would be Gerry Adams?
Rolf Harris.
The scores at the end of round two are Alan and Michael 7, Francis and Clive have leapt in the lead with 10. Francis, who agrees with Noel Coward that we shouldn't be beastly to the Germans?
No. Oh, it's Gebhard von Moltke, I think. The outgoing German ambassador to London. Extraordinary, after a few years in England, he's got the idea that there are some people over here who don't really like the Germans as they should. And he's written an article saying that whenever he turns on the telly, there are reruns of Fawlty Towers. Whenever he turns on the wireless, he hears Alan Corrin. And from this, he's extrapolated and assumed that the entire population of this country is a bit Hunophobic, I think is the technical term.
His great-grandfather was the von Moltke, who was Bismarck's general the last time they tried to unify Europe. The same bloody family.
But he was only obeying orders, Alan.
He was particularly annoyed, the German ambassador, by very unfunny jokes about beach towels.
He's a good judge of humour, is he, the German ambassador? Well, well.
But the beach towels jokes are at least not about the war. I mean, that's all to do with summer holidays, isn't it? There are no beach towels at the D-Day landings, were there?
No, I think it's...
Let's go for broke. The ambassador may not have flown out yet. There was a report this week that Hitler was gay.
I saw that.
I'm afraid the BBC ruling that we are not to discuss Hitler's sexual orientation is still applies.
But that, I love sexual orientation. It sounds as though you start with a compass and work out... Dropping you in the forest, Adolf, with a compass. Tried to
a
find out that Spears'
forest,
bum. What?
I was just enjoying the expression of walk in the Black Forest. I don't know why. Oh, yes. Is that a doodle bug in your pocket, or are you just...
I got a question?
Oh,
yet?
Yes.
2 points to Francis is the next line in the script.
2 points to Francis. Clive, your piece of music. It was a good old Arsenal by the Arsenal Football Club. Amazing to find that so many of them speak English. Clive, which football-loving North London school children insisted we was robbed?
Well, there's lots of Arsenal stories this week. We've had a lot of trouble at Arsenal. Patrick Vieira has been up before the FA because he unfortunately was clearing his throat when going over to apologise to a West Ham player, and they've... No, this story, though, unfortunately, the Arsenal Football Club, being a very, very generous football club and having to fill up Wembley Stadium for its European games, handed out a full 20 tickets to a local school, William Tyndale School. There were 20 teachers sitting around in the staff room, and they said, well, we ought to let the first 11 football team go, in which case 9 teachers would go with them to accompany them. And they thought, well, probably not all 11 pupils will be able to stay up that late, so let's say the best 5 football, and that'll mean that 15 of us can go. And then 5 of them looked a bit miserable and said, well, supposing just all the teachers went, and we'd make sure we'd give a sort of talk about it to all the school afterwards and say what a good game it was, and it'd be far too much of a fag to go around finding, you know, which people to go, so let's just us teachers go. So all the teachers went, and then some telltale snitch one of the boys, obviously, told the papers, and they've all been ticked off. And Arsenal are not going to give them any tickets anymore, I suppose. Anyway, that's the story, and the William Tyndale School is looking a bit abashed.
The headmistress of William Tyndale School, Mrs. Harris, handed over the 20 complimentary tickets for Arsenal's European Cup match, intended for pupils, to the school's teachers. Michael, whose blind sale made a bit of a splash.
Oh, yeah. David Hockney, sketches from ages and ages ago before he bought his first swimming pool. Somebody sold them for a great deal of money, and there was a story in the paper, but I was interrupted at that moment on the tube and didn't finish it. But Alan can help. Go on, Alan.
I just got uneasy when you said I was interrupted on the tube and didn't finish it.
No, just Hockney faxed these prints. You said it. You've got the top and bottom of it.
I just want to, you know...
Well, she gummed all these Hockney prints to a blind and then took the blind out in the rubbish. And a Hockney fancier came by and said that blind is worth money. And it fetched 11,000 quid at some charlatan sale.
Well, actually, it was the woman who bought the house. I mean, a friend of Hockney's owned the house before. She had all these things faxed over from David, stuck them up on her kitchen blinds. When she moved house, she didn't think to take them with her. So the woman actually bought the house with these blinds and thought they're rather scruffy. At which point she discovered the awful truth.
This wouldn't be allowed under the new regulations.
Because
you'd have to put in your package, you have to say, extremely valuable Hockney prince, come to this house.
Well, I didn't read all of it, Francis, because I was out with friends that day, because I get out of it. We had a terrific time.
You couldn't finish it, could you? You probably had to play a football match or something nice like that.
Oh, don't sneer at football. You're so posh, you think Hockney is the next borough to Islington.
Not everybody may realise the simmering class tensions on the other team.
Well, we're both.
Well, you see,
the...
one of that lot went to Harrow Grammar School, and the other one went to the place up
I
the
know,
hill.
I know.
Tush! Wait. That's what it's all about.
No, that's not what it's about. We're actually entered in the William Hague lookalike contest.
It's not as if any of us has got enough hair to make a decent flannel.
Is that how you lost your hair, making flannels out of your hair?
We're doing that in therapy next week.
Amanda Gresham of Bridlington was surprised to discover that the photocopies pasted to a kitchen roller blind she was about to throw out were actually faxed paintings by David Hockney. Why are they valuable? I mean, if you faxed Van Gogh sunflowers, that wouldn't be valuable, would it?
No, but it's unique. He faxed
it. You mean
he
only faxed it once?
How could you get Van Gogh's sunflowers through the...
you need two fax machines, obviously.
Yeah.
Perhaps he got his ear trapped in a fax machine. I've often wondered. Very easy when you... I know very little about his life.
Alan, who promised to fight them on the beaches, in the fields and by the shore of Gitchigumi?
Ah, yes.
By the lake at Blenheim Palace, by the shining big sea water. Churchill was an Iroquois.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good news. That was the days when the Indians ran the Conservative Party, rather than the cowboys, which is what we have now.
Yes, the former Tory MP Winston Churchill has claimed that his slightly more famous grandfather was descended from American Indians. No one who heard it can fail to remember Churchill's stirring words at the outbreak of World War II. Many men in iron horses come heap soon. Churchill was descended through his English father from the Dukes of Marlborough and through his American mother from the Dukes of Hazzard. And the scores at the end of round three are Alan and Michael 11, but Francis and Clive still in the lead with 14 points. Before we start the final round, here's an item spotted in the Guardian's Corrections and Clarifications column.
On page 8 of Monday's sports section, we captioned a picture. Mark Rivers swoops in on Alan Mahan during Crewe Alexandra's 2-0 win. The Crewe player was Sean Smith, not Mark Rivers. The Tranmere player was Dave Challoner, not Alan Mahan. Crewe didn't win 2-0. They lost 2-0.
Thanks to Harold Margulis of London for sending that. Clive, why might there soon be only 56 varieties?
Sometimes somebody dies and there's an obituary and you think, good Lord, but I thought they died about 30 years ago, and you're surprised they were still hanging on. Well, apparently Heinz still make salad cream, and they're obviously not selling very much of it anymore because it's disgusting and spoils the food that you put it on. So in an attempt to revive sales, they've leaked a story, if you can leak a salad cream story, a bit messy. They've put out a story that they're going to abolish it. And so lots of people have sort of come out the woodwork and said, good Lord, it's the finest stuff I've ever eaten. I always eat it when I'm at the Athenaeum or something. I'm doing an impression of Carol Vorderman, who was speaking up for it on the... and she's the cleverest person in the world. Apparently she likes it, so that's all right. So a lot of people now say they like it. So there's obviously boosted sales, so they won't abolish it anymore. I'm thinking through to sort of next week's story, but there's been a scare story amongst old fogies that salad cream might no longer be made. And... everyone's worried about it.
Yes.
It's all to do with the disappearance of the chromium bumper. I used to have chromium bumpers on cars. The only thing to get rust off was Heinz salad cream. It had some property. It's like when you want to bring a penny up and you put ketchup on it. And it doesn't. But Heinz salad cream
That's
was
a
wonderful
image.
For taking chrome off bumpers. I have terrific Sundays, or I used to.
You used to sit there with his Brasso's sandwiches, didn't you? Yes, the Heinz Corporation are threatening to stop production of their famous salad cream. Will Carling once described the men who run British Rugby as 57 varieties of old fart, which is what you produce after eating Heinz salad cream. 2 points to Clive Michael, who don't talk anymore to EMI.
Oh, this is the grand old man of British popular music, Cliff Richard. 140 years of faithful service on both sides, and he's... taking his Zimmer frame to a company I'd never heard of, but I'm remarkably ill-informed. That's it, isn't it, more or less?
Yes,
I won't stop talking until you promise me the 2 points.
Of course you get the 2 points.
His record is he's going to be singing the Lord's Prayer to the tune of Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Lord, my Cliff and Richard. And that's for the millennium, isn't it?
EMI have happily published the Sex Pistols, but that is below their standards. They're not prepared to sink that low to have the Lord's Prayer traduced by Auld Lang Syne. But it's got...
It's not quite a summer holiday, is it?
No, but could you do that? Could you sing the Lord's Prayer to the tune of Auld Lang Syne, Francis?
Give him a couple.
Sound like a round from I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, doesn't it?
He's been doing it. But they printed the lyrics in, I think, the Daily Mail.
Mm.
It's just the Lord's Prayer twice, plus some Cliff Richardy chorus at the end, which is repeated twice. And I was waiting to see the little copyright line at the bottom.
Andrew Mosham.
Stop it, Cliff Richard.
They only asked Cliff Richard because he sang it at the last millennium.
You should sing it at Wimbledon. The Lord's Prayer is what British players need to get through, actually win a game.
He and Sue are just good friends.
This has been a journey through Michael White's brain. It's been
quite a short journey.
Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
This is from the Daily Telegraph. 10 drug squad officers searched the home of a 77-year-old dairy farmer after police apparently confused a slang name for cannabis, grass, with the real thing. Robert Pocock, a widower and great-grandfather who lives on a 100-acre farm near Wellington, Somerset, said, "They asked me if I had said I liked plenty of grass. I said, yes, of course. Anyone who works on a dairy farm needs plenty of grass. That's because cows eat grass."
Clive.
This is from the Stratford-upon-Avon Journal, and it's been sent to me by Mr. D. Patterson, though I don't think it's the Mr. D. Patterson who's a big friend of mine, who doesn't live in Stratford, but from the Stratford-upon-Avon Journal. No, my friend, Mr. D. Patterson, now produces Whose Line Is It Anyway? In America without me, so he's an ex-friend. But now...
Right, very good. Mike?
Now, this is Stratford-upon-Avon Journal, and it reads, "An inquest has concluded that a Pershore man died accidentally and not as a result of being knocked over, as he had claimed."
Mike, what's Mr. D. Patterson sent to you?
Mrs. D. Worrell of Bury has sent from the Manchester Evening News, "A masked raider walked in from an old branch of Barclays, pointed a handgun at staff and said, 'This is a bank robbery.' Puzzled workers stared back at him and said, 'This is a doctor's surgery.'"
Alan, who's sent in your clipping?
Well, my clipping is distinguished not by having been sent in by Dan Patterson, but it really is distinguished because it was sent to me by Rolf Harris, the Dr. Doolittle de nos jours. Probably explains all the stuff inside it. From the South Wales Echo. It says, "While rescuing a cat which was being attacked by an owl at Port Talbot on Monday night, PC Archie Ellis, a South Wales constabulary dog handler, was bitten on the arm by a bat."
So, the end of round four. The scores are thrillingly Alan and Michael 15 points, but Francis and Clive are deserving winners this week with 18 points. We leave you at a sign scene in a park in Papua New Guinea, spotted by Patrick Cummins and Brian Balshaw.
"Owing to drought and shortage of water, we have closed 3 lanes of the swimming pool."
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Foran, Francis Wheen, Clive Anderson and Michael White. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.